All the gossips are gone. Ain't none of them here tonight. Don't you tell them I said so. Amen. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Amen. Let me read one more in Genesis. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. I'll start with verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. He was already 4 years older than I am before his son Methuselah was born. 65 years old. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. Now, he lived 365 years right here on this earth, Lawrence. But he, pardon the vernacular, ain't dead yet. He's still alive. Woo! He's one of those two olive trees that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Amen. Somebody make a big issue, you know, out of flesh and blood can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. God took Enoch up there and has had him up there preserved for thousands of years. Amen. Glory to God. He's not the only one. Elijah's been up there almost as long when you look at God's clock. Amen. Two olive trees, Enoch and Elijah, both of them up there. That's in Zechariah, you know. These be the two olive trees which stand before the Lord of the whole earth, you know. Amen. And the golden pipes from them, their anointing was turned on Jeshua the son of Jozadak the high priest and Jerubbabel to rebuild the temple. Amen. And they shared in their anointing. God turned the golden pipes from those two olive trees on them. Amen. And when God needed a forerunner for Christ, and it wasn't quite time for Elijah to come back. Amen. He just turned Elijah's oil pipe. Amen. On John the Baptist. And John the Baptist got Elijah's anointing. And Jesus said, this is that Elijah. Elijah's already come, but you just couldn't see it. You didn't realize it. It wasn't literally Elijah, but John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Amen. And fulfilled the first part of the prophecy concerning Elijah. But Elijah is really coming back. Amen. In the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations, he said, I'll give power unto my two witnesses. Amen. And they're going to prophesy for 3.5 years. Enoch and Elijah is coming back. God's reserved them for a special time. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm talking about people who could not die. Amen. Couldn't die. Hallelujah. I tell you what, if we can find what characteristic these godly people had that couldn't die, and when they died, they wouldn't let them stay dead. Amen. They just prayed and prayed and prayed, and God raised them from the dead. Hallelujah. Long life, good days. My, my, my. Amen. And they're going to prophesy for 3.5 years. Enoch and Elijah is coming back. God's reserved them for a special time. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm talking about people who could not die. Amen. Couldn't die. Hallelujah. I tell you what, if we can find what characteristic these godly people had that couldn't die, and when they died, they wouldn't let them stay dead. Amen. They just prayed and prayed and prayed, and God raised them from the dead. Hallelujah. Long life, good days. My, my, my. If we can find the characteristics they had, we can help ourselves out a whole lot. Amen. And right away, we see what Enoch's characteristic was. He walked with God. How long did he walk with God? The Bible's clear. He walked with God longer than most of us, all of us put together. Amen. Put these children together and us together, the oldest and the children, wouldn't make up 300 years, would it? From the oldest to the youngest, if you took the oldest and their lifespan and add the second oldest to it, and these children probably wouldn't make up 300 years. Amen. Even adding up to a three or four of us. Amen. But Enoch walked with God. I mean, amen. What I'm trying to say is, if you put my grandpa and my dad and me together, we wouldn't make 300 years. Amen. Put my great-grandpa and my great-great-great-grandpa and my grandpa and my dad, Nurse Browning in Barberville, Kentucky, the county nurse of Knox County, she declared that she was kin to me. She said that she was a Collins, and she felt like that from the things that I'd told her that three of her relatives had made the trip from Knox County, Kentucky, going to California and run out of money and had to stop in Arkansas. And the story fit. Three brothers wound up in the flatwoods between Mammoth Spring and Hardy, Arkansas, and stopped. Couldn't get no farther. Amen. And one of them, my great-great-great-grandpa Aaron Collins, was married to a Cherokee Indian. And her grave's there on the land where he started the cemetery, where my folks is buried. It's a teepee, triangular-shaped piece of limestone. Very crude and very a cheap headstone, but nevertheless, it's there. And that's where he buried his Cherokee wife. And she thought she was kin to me, and probably was, because the story fit. And they did trace our relatives back. They went through the family tree back to Knox County, Kentucky. And they came from North Carolina over to Knox County, Kentucky. And Sister Colin and I talked about it the other day. That's why you like Kentucky so good. That's why you love Kentucky so much. There was a kindred spirit. There was a feeling there. Amen. And I tell folks, if I'd have stayed in Knox County six more months, I'd have never left. I'd have still been there. Amen. I guess God knew that, because I wouldn't have been the pastor of the Highway of Holiness for 18 years. Amen. If I hadn't left there. Well, all my ancestors, put them all together and add all our ages up, mine and my grandchildren included, that wouldn't make 300 years. Amen. But I mean decade after decade, praise God. What are you doing this year, Enoch? I'm walking with God. Amen. 10 years later, what's your plans for the next decade, Enoch? If you live, I'm going to walk with God. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, when the world was getting wickeder and wickeder and farther away from God, Enoch was getting closer and closer to God all the time. Amen. And after he lived the first 100 years and Methuselah had been born, his son would be the time clock for the world. His very name meant, when he is dead, it shall be finished. And did you know the flood came the very day of Methuselah's funeral? Amen. The very day, that walking time clock. Praise God. Glory to God. Enoch walked with God, and he begat Methuselah, and Methuselah lived 969 years. How do you think he lived 969 years? He is walking in the footsteps of his daddy. Amen. Let's see. When he got up in the morning, he walked up here to this place of prayer. Amen. And he prayed. And then at noon, he walked up to this place of prayer and he prayed. And they tracked him. Praise God. They tracked him and they tracked him. For 300 years, praise God, they tracked him. I think the reason Methuselah lived so long, he walked in the footsteps of his daddy. He learned what it takes to live a long time. Amen. And God spared him the ravages of the flood. Amen. He probably helped build Noah's ark. Amen. Somebody preached a message, what happened to the carpenters that built Noah's ark? Amen. Well, one of them, if he was able to do much building, and Noah spent about 75 years probably building that ark. Amen. And probably Methuselah helped build it. Amen. But they had his funeral. That's one the flood didn't drown. Amen. They had his funeral the very day that the earth opened up, the very day that the heavens opened up, the very day, amen, that the flood came. Methuselah was gone too. Amen. But they tracked. Brother William Strickler preached his illustrated message on tracking Enoch. And he said they tracked him and they tracked him. He didn't show up for supper and he didn't show up for breakfast. And he didn't show up for dinner. Amen. They thought, well, he's just having a long season of prayer. And they tracked him and they tracked him. And finally, they ran out of tracks. He said, where'd he go? Praise God. Amen. The Bible said he was not. For God took him. Hallelujah. He took his place in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. God has him preserved there. Amen. Still, glory to God. He couldn't die. He walked with God so long. Amen. And God liked him so good. You know, that's the reason God created us in the first place. He said, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. Could it be that God wanted fellowship? Amen. So he made somebody with a will, somebody with the power of choice. Amen. That's why the Bible said, if you don't love your neighbor whom you see, how can you love God whom you don't see? Why? Because your neighbor looks like God. He's got two eyes like God, got a nose like God, got two ears like God, got two legs like God, two arms like God. Somebody said, well, God don't have a body like us. Oh, yes, he does. How do you think you got the pattern for yours? He said, let us make man in our own image. Amen. And you know, I've heard people make a big issue, you know, out of explaining how literal God was and everything. They say, well, now the Bible says that God will cover us with his feathers. Now, does God have feathers? Yes. He owns all the feathers in creation. Amen. He's got them all. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he'll cover you with all you need. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, he may not have feathers on his body, but he's got plenty of feathers. Amen. Glory to God. God looks like you. God looks like me. God looks like your neighbor. Praise God. Now, the reason sometimes we're so ugly and the reason sometimes we don't shine so much is because sin has taken the smile off our face. Sin has taken the joy out of our soul. Sin has taken the godlike character out of our being. Amen. Sin has taken the song out of our heart. Great God. Amen. But God made us to be joyful, happy, and joyous creatures. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God said, I like you, Enoch. And one day they're walking together. Praise God. God just took him home with him. Hallelujah. And he hasn't been back since. Enoch got to looking over heaven and the wonderful things of God. Praise God. Well, it's kind of late, Enoch. You just well stay for supper. Amen. And so they had supper together and they've been having supper and breakfast and dinner and supper and breakfast and dinner. Amen. For thousands of years. Hallelujah. And one day Enoch. We'll come back. Why you say Enoch? We'll be one of the two witnesses. Because he's one of the only two people that have never died. Amen. Why you say Elijah? We'll be one that come back. Because he's one of the only two people that never died. Amen. Now, you say, well, one preacher said he believed one of the two witnesses was John. And C.L. O'Bannon was so strong that one of them was Moses. Amen. He discussed it with one of the leading Bible commentators in the whole world. Amen. And he explained to him how that it couldn't be Moses. It had to be Enoch and Elijah. And he said, see? And Brother C.L. O'Bannon, by then he was already retired, up 65 or 70 years old already. He said, no. I said, you don't see. He knew he wasn't going to change him. Amen. After you get that old, you ain't going to change him. Amen. Why wasn't it Moses? I'll tell you why it wasn't Moses. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Amen. And Moses has already died. And he'd have to pay a double debt if he came back and died again. Amen. Secondly, if God raised Moses from the dead, amen, and sent him back to be one of the two witnesses and be killed again, he would be the first one of the first resurrection, and you could prove that people could be killed again after the first resurrection, amen, if Moses was raised from the dead and came back again. How many know, amen, that after you go up in the first resurrection, you ain't going to die no more, and the devil can't kill you. For time and eternity, you'll not die no more. So if Moses was raised from the dead, as some people says, to be one of the two witnesses, amen, they couldn't kill him. And his body couldn't be left laying in the streets of Jerusalem. You read the Bible long enough and use your common sense, it'll explain itself after a while. It will also explain away a lot of ideas that men have. Amen. A lot of good men have funny ideas. A lot of good men have blind spots. Amen. Of course, I don't have any. Amen. But we'll see a little bit later. I might have a whole set of images in my brain that are just a little bit different when we get to the other side, amen, as to what God really had to say about it. Now, I can't tell you any one in particular. Of course, I think I'm right on everything. Amen. The only fellow in the world that don't have any blind spots. The only fellow in the world that's right about everything. No, we're in all of us in various stages of perfection. If we knew it all, what more reason would be there to study? Amen. So we have enough left out in front of us to keep reaching and keep studying and keep reaching. And suddenly light shines on our pathway, praise God. And our blind spots are healed, praise God. And great light shines across our pathway. And we have the gift of helps. Somebody said that preacher, he just thinks he knows. So, God does give certain men the gift of helps. And thank God for it. Amen. And don't you go through life being a dummy because you refuse to humble yourself and listen to a teacher that God is endowed with the gift of helps to help you understand. Now that's stubbornness. Amen. Yeah. You learn, but you learn the hard way. And you'll be like the old German or Dutchman said, too soon old and too late smart. Amen. We need to take the shortcut, amen, and benefit by those that God has gifted and endowed with the power to help us to understand the Word of God. Amen. Hey, that's part of living abundantly, children. Praise God. Noah lived a long time, couldn't die. Praise God. Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 through 9. Praise God. Let's look at Noah just a little dab. Amen. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Hallelujah. Why was Noah chosen to build the ark? Why did Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives, 8 souls, not die in the flood? Why couldn't the flood kill them? Because they walked with God. And I ought to tell you folks, praise God, amen, that you can walk with God and escape the dark days that's coming upon this world. Amen. The Bible said, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape. How shall we escape? Pray. How do we walk with God? Pray. Pray and read the Bible, praise God. Make your daily life one of prayer and meditation upon the things of God. Amen. Walk with God. Pray and live in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a hard time walking with God and enjoying all of the so-called good life. Because most of what some folks call the good life today is good for nothing. Amen. Glory to God. Noah walked with God and floated above the tide of his day. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Oh, hallelujah. My God, let it be said that L.L. Collins Jr. walked with God. I pray God that it be so to the day I die. Amen. Let it be said that Shane Whitaker walked with God. That Mike Allen walked with God. That Randy Coffey walked with God. That Roscoe Burns walked with God. I'm using those because they're right on the front seat. And I'm looking right at them. Insert the name that you want and the title that you want. Amen. Walked with God. And they floated above it. Amen. Couldn't die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe, and the Bible bears it out, and all the prophets bear it out, that there will be a catching away before the great tribulation. Amen. That the ready and prepared church will go in the group of elders that take their regal seats around the 24 seated throne. Amen. Thrones around the 24 thrones around the central throne. Amen. They'll be there before a single seal is open. As a matter of fact, they will introduce the book. And they say who they are. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. Amen. Glory to God. Their redemption is complete. Hallelujah. Their rewards are complete. Their regality is evident. Amen. Their participation with their Lord in the judgment of this world is evident in the book of his revelation. Amen. Amen. Then there shall come a revival in Israel. And Joel chapter 2 will be complete. When the sun's turning black, the moon turned to blood, and the fire's fallen, the stars are fallen, and blood and fire and vapors of smoke are the signs in the heavens. Amen. There will be 144,000 Jews saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they'll preach the gospel to their world. And as a result of their preaching, a number that no man can number will get saved in the great tribulation. And a number that John couldn't account for. He'd already seen the redeemed church standing in the presence of God. And God asked him a question, said, who are these and where'd they come from? And John shook his head and said, Lord, thou knowest. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Amen. And God said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they're before the throne of God, and he feeds them day and night, wipes the tears from their eyes, and they're not hungry anymore, and they're not thirsty anymore. Amen. Oh, Brother Collins, you mean there's going to be two raptures? No, there ain't going to be two raptures. There's going to be four or five. Amen. Glory to God. There you've got the number. Praise God that no man can number coming up out of great tribulation. Praise God. And right in the middle of the tribulation period, right in the dead center of that 3.5 year period, amen, something happens to the 44,000. They're suddenly missing on this earth. Amen. The 12th chapter, there's a man child raptured. Amen. In the 14th chapter, praise God, we see what that man-child was and what happened to them. Amen. That holy remnant from the nation Israel stand before the throne and sing a song that no man can learn except the 144,000. Praise God. And now you've got the third rapture. And that rapture, the 144,000, is before tribulation, the great. Amen. That's before the worst part. There's still 3.5 years of the worst part. Antichrist, even the 144,000, don't have to face the mark of the beast. Amen. Glory to God. And then, praise God, you've got the two witnesses, glory to God, that preach for 3.5 years of the last and worst part of the tribulation. And through their witness, praise God, they actually help the Jews, because the Antichrist has got so many problems to the north. Amen. He has to go off on a military campaign. The two witnesses, praise God, help the Jews to regain partial entrance to the temple. Amen. And to the faith of God, amen, by their miracles and by their power, praise God, and in time to come back with Jesus when he comes again at his second advent, they are killed and lay in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are caught up into heaven in time to come back with that white horse rider. That's four. Amen. There may be another one. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Collins, that's giving people a second chance. No, that's giving them a second chance, a third chance, and a fourth chance. Amen. God's just full of chances, praise God, in helping people to be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, if you'll live for God and behave yourself and hold to God's unchanging hand and pray, you can escape with a first load. As slick as a button. Amen. Glory to God, this will raise eyebrows across the country. Amen. Read your Bible. Praise God. You'll find out it's all right there in the Bible. Amen. You say, you believe somebody going to be saved after the rapture of the church? A few years was having Bible study, and a brother sitting right there where Brother Randy is, said, you can't prove to me in the Bible that anybody's going to be saved after the rapture of the church. Well, amen. Where do you put the rapture in the book of Revelation? Just show me where you put it. Amen. Where you put it? Praise God. Unless you put it at the dead end, and that won't work out, you're going to have to throw a whole lot of pieces away. Amen. If you put it at the very end when the eternal kingdom comes down. Amen. I don't care where you put the rapture in the book of Revelation. Is somebody going to get saved after the rapture? That's why time goes on. That's why God don't burn the world right away. Amen. When grace didn't do it and preachers of righteousness couldn't do it, judgment's going to do it for some folks. Amen. Where the gospel couldn't do it and the church couldn't do it, judgment's going to do it for some folks. When thy judgments are in the earth, he said, amen, thy people shall learn righteousness. Amen. You say, Brother Collins, you believe that? I know it. Amen. And I can prove it by the Bible to any open heart. Amen. Praise God. To any open mind. Glory to God. And Elijah stood for God when it seemed that he stood alone. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 4. Praise God. You read the story how in the 18th chapter he called fire down from heaven. Amen. And Elijah begged God to die in the very next chapter. He went to high, from a great big high to a great big low. That's why some folks at the highway of holiness. We just closed 8 weeks of glory. 8 weeks of revival. Amen. Brother Havis Crawford came to us having fasted in two different segments, a grand total, even 40 days and nights, one time 27 days and nights, and another time. Amen. And he came to us with the message of God's fire and power. Amen. And the glory rolled. Amen. We baptized 160 people thereabouts. Everybody wanted to in the highway of holiness got baptized or rebaptized. Praise God. 20 people got healed. Amen. And the glory of God rolled. Hallelujah. But there's a lot of people singing the blues tonight after God doing so much for us. There's a lot of people nearly backslid tonight after God did so much for us. Amen. Yeah, there's a lot of people ready to run away tonight. I want to ask you, Elijah, where are you going to run? I want to tell you where you're going to run, Elijah. You're going to waste your time running 40 miles the wrong direction. Amen. And God's going to turn you right back around and send you back where you came from. Amen. It's just going to take you longer to get there. I want to tell you, it's a long, hard journey running away from God. Amen. I found out a long time ago, as a growing boy, growing up in the hills of Arkansas, I mean beset by trouble every side. Amen. I mean I found out that you can't run from trouble. You got to face into the storm. You can't be a coward all your life. You can't be a turncoat all your life. You got to bow into the storm and endure until the end in order to be saved. Amen. Praise God. Elijah begged God to die. He said, I'm the only one that's left. He thought he was. But there's a wonderful thing about that. Even though he thought he was the only one that's left. Amen. He still stood for God. Even though he wanted to die, he addressed his maker and said, take me home. I want to die. Well, you know what God did? He sent a chariot of fire after him in a whirlwind. Whew, glory to God. But not until he had anointed his successor in office. Amen. Not until he had anointed Elisha to minister in his room. Whew, glory to God. Amen. You know what Elisha's office was? Servant. He poured water on Elijah's hand. Amen. It's where Elijah got his water every morning to wash his face. Elisha poured water on his hand. You want a greater ministry? Learn to serve. You know what the word deacon means? It means serve. Amen. It don't mean attend board meetings and try to boss the pastor. Amen. The pastor is the highest authority in the church, not the deacon. And not the board. The shepherd is the highest authority in the church. If you want to amount to 2 cents for God, you need to get to work. You need to work for God. You need to work when it's hard. You need to work when it's lonely. You need to work when you're the only one that's working, praise God. If you intend to mount for 2 cents for God, amen, you need to be a true servant. Elisha served him, praise God. He said, you're going to anoint Elijah. He's going to be a successor. We are going to end our revival. We're going to end our movement if we don't have some successors. All we got, a lot of young people raised up in the church, everything handed to them on a silver platter, and none of them knows how to work. It won't work. Amen. Deacon means servant. Amen. There's a lot of people in the office that don't serve. Amen. Praise God. About all the good they do is attend board meetings and keep down gossip. And sometimes that's not necessarily a truth. Sometimes they add to it. Amen. But it's good to have them in there to prove them, amen, for future use. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get to work. Elisha was prophet in Elijah's room because he learned how to serve. How did he serve? He left his plow and his 12 yoke of oxen, burned his plow, roasted his ox, had a sacrifice and a party, a going away party, and said, goodbye, mama, goodbye, daddy, goodbye, farm, goodbye, money, goodbye, everything. Amen. And took a vow of poverty to serve God. Pour water on the hands of Elijah. Amen. Glory to God. He did all right. He did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. He had a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Glory to God. We ought to do better than our forefathers. We ought to be the sum total of our forefathers plus our own efforts. Amen. We ought to have gleaned the best they had, praise God. Add it all up. Amen. The graces they had, the virtues they had. Amen. The works they had, the prayer life they had, the walk with God they had. Add it all up. Draw a line underneath. And we ought to be the sum total of all that they were and more. But what do? We let John do it. We let George do it. We're content to let somebody else do our praying for us. We want a pastor that's little more or less than a priest that'll do our work for us. Amen. And do our praying for us. Lord help. We're a failure if we haven't pointed you to the spring so you can get a drink for yourself. We're a failure if we haven't pointed you to the cross so you can get a dip in the blood for yourself. We're a failure if we are the only vicar there is. That is a representation of Christ there is. God help us to do all that God has invested us with the responsibility of doing. But help us to have disciples that'll walk with God. And that's why Lazarus couldn't stay dead. Amen. Here he is, praise God, in the 11th chapter of the book of John. It takes a whole chapter to tell about the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Amen. Lazarus, Jesus' friend, who had opened his home to Jesus so many times and had showed such hospitality to Jesus. Now, when you took Jesus in, you took Peter, James, and John, Bartholomew, and Andrew, and you fed the whole evangelistic party. You didn't just feed Jesus. Amen. When you took Jesus in, amen, it took some doing. I mean, you had pallets all over the place when you took Jesus in. That's why he had to sleep in the open field so many times. What, too many people took him in. But I mean Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they took him in. Amen. They had 13 people when they took him in and more. You take my word for it, there was more. Amen. One place he sent out 70, so he had a whole bunch more traipsing along beside, amen, that he was schooling for the work that he had called them to do. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I mean they had to make an effort. to show hospitality. There was more wheat to grind, more barley to grind. Amen. There was more food to fix, and there was more hospitality to show. They had to get the wine someplace. Amen. And whatever they did, they had to do it. Amen. 10 times over. Because Jesus and his evangelistic party was coming. Amen. Well, praise God. Lazarus and Mary and Martha's house was such a place of refuge for Jesus. Amen. And everybody knew it. When he got sick, they said, Lord, the one whom thou lovest is sick. And I used to wonder why they said, Lord, the one whom thou lovest. I thought God loved everybody. Jesus loved everybody. Amen. Why did it single out Lazarus as one that God loved so much? Amen. Jesus loved so much. It hit me like a bolt of lightning going down Highway 63 out of Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. The reason Jesus loved Lazarus so much was because Lazarus loved Jesus so much. Glory to God. It's a reciprocal thing. Amen. Oh, glory to God. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. But if you love him and you know it, it goes further than that. It gets way down deep in your pocket. Had a sideshow on the streets one day. Amen. And this old boy, you know, he told him to dig way down deep in his pocket. He dug way down here. He had the deepest pocket you ever saw. Amen. Special made for the side. Dug way down deep in his pocket. Praise God. Well, amen. After 3 years of that, after 3 years of hospitality to the Lord, praise God, Lazarus couldn't stay dead. No. Glory to God. Jesus wept at his funeral. Glory to God. Amen. Mary and Martha wouldn't let him stay dead. Lazarus couldn't stay dead. Jesus stands there in the hopelessness of Lazarus' tomb with a stone rolled over the door. 4 days of stench ought to come rolling out of there if they roll that stone back. He said, Lazarus, come forth. I need you, Lazarus. And here he comes. There's a lot of church members he'd let them lay there. They wasn't good for nothing when they're living. Amen. And they're better off dead if they go to heaven. Because they didn't do nothing while they're living. Amen. Glory to God, let them stay dead. But not Lazarus. Not Lazarus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He plied his hand. Glory to God. He gave the supreme sacrifice. He still stayed friends with Jesus when he was unpopular. I mean, Jesus laid his neck out long for some people. When he stretched his neck out for that woman caught in a very act of adultery, boy, I mean, he stretched it out a long ways. He stretched it out so far that church leaders down through the ages wouldn't read that scripture in a mixed congregation. They deleted it from some of the copies of the Bibles because it made Jesus look like he was soft on adultery. No. Amen. But he stretched his neck out for sinners. Praise God. Amen. When he stretched his neck out for them publicans, hated politicians that sold out to the Roman government, he laid his neck away out there. Amen. When he stretched his neck out for Mary Magdalene and the woman at the well, boy, he had his neck stretched out a long, long ways. You do that a few times in the average John Doe church, no matter where it is. Amen. Somebody will take a saw and cut your neck off if you're not very careful. But he stretched it out a long ways anyhow. But you know what Lazarus did? Lazarus stayed with him through the years of his popularity. Amen. And 1 week before Jesus was crucified, Lazarus was dead. Or 2 weeks, however long it was. Not very long. Amen. Lazarus stayed with Jesus when he had stretched his neck out so far for sinners that he was unpopular. Lazarus didn't tuck tail and run. But he did get sick. Amen. And he did die. Read the 11th chapter. Amen. Of the book of St. John. Amen. Lazarus stayed with Jesus when his neck was stretched out so far that the scribes and Pharisees and a lot of Jesus' former friends had forsook him and walked no more with him. Lazarus stayed with him. Amen. Glory to God. And he couldn't stay dead. He said, Lazarus, come forth. I need people like you to help me. I need people like you to stand by me when my being a friend of all things of sinners. Amen. And they was not just any old ordinary heathen either. They was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Every one of them was church members in Abraham's church. Every one of them was church members in Moses' church. Every one of them was church members in Jacob's church. Huh? They said it. We be the children of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to any man. They were all members, but backslid while members. And Jesus stretches his neck out for the lost sheep of the house of Israel and becomes a friend of publicans and sinners. Amen. Glory to God. That's what they made David Wilkerson, from a little known Assembly of God preacher out east in an unknown town. Unless you've read The Cross and the Switchblade lately, you can't tell what town David was preaching in, because it don't matter. You can't tell what denomination hardly he belonged to, because it don't matter. What does matter was that Dave went to court for these three boys, and he saw their faces in the paper that were juvenile delinquents, and they took his picture with his Bible waving in court. Amen. And the sinners on the street of New York saw that preacher's picture, and when he went out there to preach to the gangs, they said, that's him. He's for us. Amen. And he won Nicky Cruz and scores and scores of others to God right off the streets of New York. He stretched his neck out long for the sinner. Amen. Praise God. Dave Wilkerson said, if I'd have knew when I was sleeping in my car how dangerous it was, he said, I probably wouldn't have done it. Amen. He said, I learned later that the little people, that's the kids, on the streets of New York was just as dangerous as the boys in the organized gangs. They'd cut your throat too for a few pennies. Amen. Here he is sleeping in his car with his neck stretched away out for the lost on the streets of New York. Amen. There's a reason to live when your life is like that. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I need you. He didn't say that in John, but that's in effect what he said. Your sisters need you. I'm going to die in a couple of weeks, and they're going to need your help. And you know, when the scribes and Pharisees saw Lazarus sitting at the table of Jesus, they was trying to find a good reason to kill Lazarus again. Get rid of him also. Why? Because he is a friend of the friend of sinners. You know, it wasn't the wicked necessarily that crucified the Lord. Read the New Testament. Read the message of Acts of the Apostles, of all the preachers, Paul, Peter, all of them. They put the blame right squarely where it was belonged. They looked their own people right in the eye and said, you crucified him. You crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. He did. Boy, means something to stand for God. Amen. I need you. Your sisters need you. And Pentecost needs you. Hallelujah. Because soon the day of Pentecost would come. And I'm going to need some eyewitnesses. Hallelujah. Of the resurrection at Pentecost. I believe Mary. I believe Martha. I believe Lazarus was there. Hallelujah. Among the 120. On the day of Pentecost. Dorcas. In Acts chapter 9, begins verse 36, praise God, takes in the resurrection of Dorcas. Amen. Dorcas, that woman that did so many good deeds in Joppa. Amen. She died. She had helped the poor so much in Joppa. You know what? They wouldn't let her stay dead. They called Peter. Amen. I mean, they didn't call him to preach the funeral. Praise God. No. No. They didn't call him to officiate. They called him and said, when he got there, showed him all the aprons, all the dresses, all the clothes hidden that she had made for the people and for the poor and for the naked in the town. Amen. And he showed them all that she had done and told them all the good things that she had performed. Praise God. And as they wept, Peter pushed them all out and went in the room by himself and said, Dorcas, we need you in Joppa. You can't stay dead. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hopper Funeral Home sent the car or the ambulance or whatever they haul the corpse in down to Pineville Hospital. An old gentleman had died down in Pineville Hospital. Young man was driving the car, amen, and they brought out the body and shoved him in the car, you know, and fastened it down and everything. He started back up the road to 20 miles from Pineville to Barberville, amen, and somewhere between Pineville and Barberville, he looked back and said in a nonchalant way, said, how you doing back there, old man? And a weak, trembly voice said, not too good. Amen. He had revived up. Amen. I mean, he broke the speed limit getting back to Pineville Hospital and took that old man back to the hospital. Praise God. He wasn't dead. They just thought he was. Praise God. Yeah, I'd like to have so much of the life of God in me. Amen. That it'd be hard to hold me down. Amen. When I die. And if they throw anybody in on my body, praise God, he'll wake up like they did when they threw a man in on the bones of Elijah. Praise God. He woke up. Oh, I'd like to have so much of the fire of God, so many good works. I wouldn't stay there. How many believe that we can do enough for God even in our day? It'd be hard for the devil to kill us. It'd be hard for the devil to hold us down. If you live for God and do your best for God, praise God, the devil can't kill you.